Welcome to the Smart Water Solutions podcast. I'm Hakim Ilfadil. This is episode number 68. Today we are joined by Lily King, the CEO of Influx Search. In this episode, we are focusing on the unique world of recruiting in the water industry. Lily will share his experiences and insights on how Influx Search finds the right talents for this vital sector. He will also discuss the importance of sustainability and conservation in recruiting and how these factors are crucial in shaping the industry's future. This conversation is packed with practical insight for anyone interested in recruiting and environmental sustainability. So the first question that I would have, which is, the world is filled with recruiting companies. So why Influx?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the main reason for it is that it's the industry that I've always recruited within. So I've been in the space now for sort of like the best part of 8 years. And like most people that I think work in recruitment, they tend to fall into it. It's not something that they naturally pursue as a career. I mean, I may be wrong. There may be some people out there that do, you know, they do all their education and they move into it. I always, you know, growing up wanted to be a pilot, just like many people, but unfortunately, like, you know, medical reasons, I could never do that. And I had some friends that started in recruitment, so I thought, why not? I can give it a go and see how things work out. And you know, 8 years later, 8 years later, I'm still doing it. When I first started, I was recruiting for the water industry, and over the years, it has become a passion of mine. And I know that that can sound a little bit like wishy-washy, but I do genuinely feel that recruiting for companies that work in this space gives some element of fulfillment, in that when you're working with these businesses, you know that these businesses are actually trying to make the world a little bit of a better place. You know, you see things in the news about water companies. I mean, if we talk about the UK's water utilities in particular, those companies are facing quite a lot of political backlash at the minute, and public backlash because of the missed certain targets. You know, it could be leakage, or there's a lot in the news at the minute about wastewater overflows and things like that. And, you know, the businesses that we work with are ultimately helping these companies to meet their targets that are ultimately trying to make the world a better place. So I do feel that there is quite some fulfillment in that. So the purpose behind Influx is to continue that work. And granted, you know, the recruitment market more generally is a very crowded space, and being able to differentiate yourself can oftentimes be quite difficult. So I think having a business that is specific to an industry gives you that leg up from the very beginning. Not to say that that's the be all and end all, and just because you've got a name that, or a business that is centered on a target, that means that you are the go-to recruiter. But like I say, it does help you differentiate it. I think a lot of recruitment companies in particular have quite generic names, and until you really understand what that person does, it's quite difficult to understand, you know, which markets that they work in. So that's why we've done the move that we have. Like I say, it's to continue the work that we have been doing. I think it's quite an important industry to be working in, and it is, like I say, it's quite fulfilling to speak to the people that we get to speak to, and work with the businesses that we get to work with. I think as well, one thing that always stands out is when I first started in this industry, I remember reading a stat that was something along the lines of that by 2040, 40% of the world's population are going to be in a water-stressed, if not scarce, environment or region, should I say. And then I remember reading a stat even earlier this year, and this isn't even 10 years further forward, you know, this isn't even 10 years in the future. That projection's already come down by 10 years. It's now something like that, you know, estimated population is now expected to be in a water scarce area by as early as 2030, which is quite crazy, to be honest, how within that 10 years, that projected number is actually, or that projected date has even come forward 10 years. And like I say, if we can help in the slightest by helping these businesses find the people that they need to tackle the issues that they're trying to address, then I feel like we're in a pretty good place.
Yeah, I mean, while you were working on the previous company, I mean, I'm assuming in the lunch you are sitting with other recruiters who are recruiting for different industry like semiconductor and yeah, different firms, different industry. So what is, let's say, the differentiation that you find yourself in while you're recruiting talents for water industry compared to your other colleagues who are recruiting talents for different industry? Is there something typical, specific for the water industry that you think that you witness is different than the other industry?
Just sorry, just say it again, Hakeem. What was the question again?
Yeah. So the question is, well, when you sit with your colleagues in the lunch, okay, so they are hiring people for finance, for semiconductor, for instance, and you are hiring people for water industry. So what is the difference that you witness that, oh, when I'm hiring people for the water industry, it's different type of people that I'm dealing with compared to the people who are hiring for finance or semiconductor?
I mean, that's a good question. I think that changes. I mean, naturally, as you say, that changes based on the business that you're recruiting for, or the person that you're speaking to, that, you know, that particular candidate. But that even changes, you know, the nuances even changes region to region, country to country, and even, you know, more specifically, when you actually dig into a particular business's needs, the nuances change again. I think it's always understanding of what that particular company is looking for. You could work with two almost identical businesses, and let's just say, as an example, if you're working with a leak detection technology company, their briefs will be very different. And it always just comes down to that understanding of what that particular company are looking for and being able to steer a search to a particular candidate. It was obviously very different. You know, influx search is now more targeted on that water sector. So, you know, we're going to be speaking to people on a daily basis that work across that water industry field. You know, in jobs gone by, we would be, I suppose, let's say, sat next to somebody who's speaking to somebody that's in a completely different market, in a completely different field, and would almost be a foreign candidate. You know, it would be completely different and almost irrelevant to the clients that we work with. And like I say, that's the whole purpose behind Influx, is that I want to narrow that talent pool down even further, so that there's more and more synergy between a candidate that you speak to today versus a candidate that you speak to tomorrow.
Yeah. And then, well, the obvious question, which is the Influx name. I was really trying to wrap up my head. What is the meaning behind this name, Influx Search?
I do have to hold my hand up and say that I've actually got to give my wife a shout out for the inspiration behind the name. I spent many an hour, if not days, trying to come up with a name for this business. And luckily, I am married to somebody who's a little bit more creative than me. So I've got to hold my hands up and say that you know, she deserves the credit for the name. The intention behind the name was always for it to stand out a little bit more. And I think I said this sort of earlier on already, that a lot of recruitment companies have quite generic names, and you would really have to dig into what they do before you understand the nature of that business. So I did want it to stand out a little bit more, and I'm not saying that this, you know, jumps out from the page by any means, but at least it does give you a little bit more of a description into the nature of what we do. The influx side, I suppose that comes down to, I wanted it to be a name that is, like I say, synonymous with what we do. So Influx Search is obviously a recruitment company, and the goal of partnering with Influx Search is that you get an influx of quality when working on a particular candidate. Not candidate, should I say. When working on a particular role. You know, it's our main focus as a business right now, and this is, you know, for the short term, is that if a particular business hasn't been able to find the right candidate for a particular role, or they're expanding into new regions where they don't necessarily have those specific networks, we can be the partner to come in and really help you fill those positions. And like I say, it could well be that we're working with a European business that are looking to target the US for the first time. And for a business that has primarily been working across Europe or even within a, you know, smaller territory, more specifically, opening up a new country, opening up a new region can oftentimes be quite difficult because you don't have the network there. Whereas over the years, myself and also a colleague that's actually joined as of earlier this week, you know, we've placed from the east coast of Australia right through to the west coast of the US and pretty much everywhere in between. There is a, I suppose, a caveat there that it's not every country, but you know, it very much is a global reach. So that's the I suppose the inspiration behind it. Like I say, I've got to hold my hand up to the wife for the naming of it. But yeah, that's kind of where we are.
Yeah, I think you touched one point that I would like to ask about, which is how do you plan on scaling Influxsearch? And then you said a couple of countries. Are there any other specific markets or sectors that you are targeting next once you upscale globally Influxsearch?
I mean, from a scaling point of view, we're already, you know, twice the business that we were as of last week. So, as I mentioned, I've actually been fortunate enough that a good friend of mine and also former colleague, who's a guy called Will Brockbank, has joined the InfluxSearch team as of earlier this week. Will's background is in, or is more specific to the flow control and rotating equipment space. There's a lot of synergy between, obviously, the work that I've done and the work that he's done previously. So, you know, he's worked with startups, SMEs, multinationals, you know, right across that flow control space and has been quite instrumental in finding those businesses good talent. And our plans now are to continue what we've done previously and, you know, as we get into the midterm of this business to then start to scale it. And as you say, that will be bolting on, I suppose, different markets. It's obviously, I suppose, the challenge that any business has is doing it at a pace that is sustainable. We've obviously got to make sure that it makes sense to do so. But we will be looking at other markets, yeah, certainly. But it will be from a clean tech focus and, you know, more of a sustainability initiative whereby we want to be working with businesses that are doing good for the world. And I know that that sounds incredibly wishy-washy, but there is a mission that we believe in that. We want to work with businesses that are doing good,
Yeah.
and you know that may well change, and we may start thinking of other things and stuff. But as things stand, that's kind of our goal. And like I say, the challenge that we'll have is doing that sustainably and doing it at a pace at which that we can continue to grow.
That's, I mean, it's a very good point that you mentioned a sustainable pace. And then on this point, I'm just wondering, what are the tools that you would use to be sustainable in terms of your speed? I mean, do you have any kind of feedback loop that you will get from your clients, from the water industry, to make sure that what you bring as a talent to different companies, they are really delivering what they need to deliver? I mean, just roughly.
Yeah, so I mean, on the technology side,
Yeah.
the I suppose it's again not even specific to recruitment, but just the technology world more generally is evolving at such a great pace that every day you could find a new technology that could help you as a business. And we do incorporate certain technologies that makes, you know, the day to day a little bit easier and certain tasks a little bit easier. But I think the beauty of the art, I mean, whatever you want to sort of really describe it as, the recruitment industry more generally is a people business. And you can incorporate certain technologies, but I genuinely feel that technology will never really replace good headhunting and good recruitment because it is fundamentally a people business. You know, you are speaking to people, and as much as technology can help promote efficiencies and more effective ways of doing things, it's never really going to replace that person and that interaction, you know, that human interaction. I mean, there is obviously a lot of talk in, you know, even just on the AI space, the artificial intelligence space, that there is a potential that recruitment consultants and headhunting companies around the world are almost going to be made redundant. And again, it's not specific to recruitment. You know, AI is becoming a more and more prevalent thing, and it will, you would expect, replace the need for certain job functions. But like I say, I think there is a human element to recruitment that will always be in need. So, yeah, I mean, we'll always look to try and incorporate certain technologies if it makes our lives easier, if it makes a candidate's life easier, if it makes a client's life easier, then it's a no-brainer. We want to be incorporating that into our process. But obviously it's got to be done in another way.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned AI, and I'm just thinking, yeah, it could do a good job in terms of enhancing, but I think at the same time, it's quite, I wouldn't say impossible, but it's quite challenging because my experience, the headhunting is not only about your CV or profile, but they get into the discussion with you privately. So you share something which is privately, I mean, your partner, where you are. So another currency that makes you join any company beyond the money, there's some other stuff that you would like, some you have different values, and to share all those things privately with some computer, that I think it's so far I wouldn't dare to share them. I'm not sure if
Yeah, well, that's the thing, isn't it? Is that, and this is what I suppose I'm trying to highlight there, is that it is such a people business that, or a human business that, I think it's going to have a place, but is it going to replace good recruitment companies? I don't think so. I think, like I said, I think it'll have its place, but I don't think it will ever really replace it. And you never know, in 10 years' time, we might be looking back on this and thinking, I am way off there and completely missed the mark. But I think that there is just that human element to it. And I think as well, something that we face, or one of the sort of bigger challenges that any recruitment company will face, and also any business that's looking to make a hire will face, is that, and this is alluding to what you've just said there, Hakeem, in that any candidate on paper might look right. They might look like they tick a certain box, and they actually fit the spec that you're currently advertising for, but you only truly understand that candidate and that person once you've started to speak to them. And it happens more than you think, where a person gets a job that maybe doesn't look the best fit on paper. If you were to rank a short list of candidates, one to five, oftentimes it's the third or the fourth or even the fifth ranking candidate that ultimately gets the job. And that feeds into the cultural fit of a business. And that ultimately is where technology is never really going to be able to match candidate and client, in that cultural assessment can only really be done once you start to speak to people. And it's such a fundamental part to good recruitment, is really understanding a company's culture and matching the candidate's culture with it.
Yeah. Well, I think so, and I do agree with this point. And even if I remember, even fixing problem for water operators, it's most of the time it makes more sense. It's valuable to travel and sit with water operators and discuss with them technical to technical, instead of just sending spreadsheets, Excel, and ask them to do ABC. They can do it. But when you sit with them, as you said, so many things come up. And also, I may say something wrong here. According to my knowledge, it's like maximum 7% is based on non-verbal based on verbal communication, which means non-verbal just sits in front of you. It's more than 90%. So you have different sensors that you have the feeling who is that person, and then you can match. Will this person really match with this kind of culture of company? So you will get something which is different from the voice by phone, from seeing virtually, and also from sitting with the person in front of that person. So I think it's still we are behind. We still
Well, yeah,
have
I mean,
room.
I think there's been so much change in that line of thinking over the last few years. And I suppose what I'm saying there is that if we take it back to COVID times, and everybody was speaking like we are today over a Teams meeting or a Zoom meeting or some form of a virtual meeting, the human interaction element was lost. And then I think there is also now a fairly big shift in the workspace more generally, that albeit there is a large percentage of people that want to remain remote and like the flexibility that comes along with that, there are also a lot of businesses that are thinking now that we maybe do need to get back to this face-to-face interaction, and we want to be back in front of people and speaking to people on a daily basis. And I think moving forward, it's obviously just finding that compromise and finding that sweet spot between face-to-face interactions and also, remote interactions like we're speaking today, and what that true compromise is and what that actually looks like, I guess, is to be seen. But you're right. I think you will never replace a face-to-face meeting with a remote meeting. I think there's always going to be that element, and particularly when it comes to hiring people, you will always be able to hire people remotely. You will be able to bring someone into your team that you've never met in person. But will you have a better interaction with them if you meet them face to face? I would always say yes. If you have the opportunity to meet them, then there should definitely be the opportunity to do so.
Yeah. And then, I mean, hiring people for the water industry, I mean, talking about the water industry, so what are, let's say, the challenges or complexities or sorry, challenges and then opportunities that are unique for the water sector, and then that you need to consider whenever you are hiring people for this sector?
I think an understanding of the water industry from a third party is key, for one. If you don't truly understand the nuances, and this isn't specific to water, this is the same with any market that you are recruiting for, I think you do need to understand the nuances of it. I mean, to give you an example, if you talk about the water industry more generally, you need to understand the complexities of how a particular business is run. And you need to understand how the sort of various stakeholders of that industry come together. And it's obviously understanding where a particular person sits within that supply chain, and understanding that in more detail. I think it does fundamentally come down to your ability to be able to fill a particular role or to work with a particular client does come down to your understanding of that market. If you don't understand the market, then you never really going to be able to help them. You already treading water, I think, at that point. Pardon the pun. I don't know if that answers your question, actually.
Yeah, and then to understand the market, I mean, what is your understanding so far for the market? I know you have been working so many years to hire talents, and then you are active also in social media and also following LinkedIn different water companies. So what are, let's say, the tools that you are using in order to catch up on updating yourself on the water market, where it's going?
Yeah, I mean, I think LinkedIn is a great platform for keeping abreast of what's actually going on in the market. I mean, you can follow various news channels and everything like that, but LinkedIn's a great tool. I mean, LinkedIn for any recruitment company is a fairly important tool. But so second to that, it's actually speaking to people. In this line of work, you have opportunity to speak with leaders of the field, and you get first-hand knowledge of what they are currently pursuing. And obviously, we speak to varieties of seniorities. We speak up to sea level, right down to engineers, and it's really interesting to understand what they are working on at that particular time. So that first-hand experience is fundamentally where we keep up to date with what's actually going on in the market, because we're speaking to people that work in the market, and you understand the either you could be working on sorry, it could be speaking to somebody who's working on a brand new product development that could potentially revolutionize the industry. Or you could be speaking to somebody that's, building out a new project in a particular area, or overseeing a project in a particular area. And like I say, I think that's fundamentally where we keep up to date with things, is that we've really got our finger on the pulse because we're speaking to people on a daily basis.
Yeah, I mean, do you have any example or case from the past that you witness hiring someone for the water, I mean, for water company where he does not or she does not fit because of something that you discover later? And on the opposite example, that you hire someone for, let's say, for one water company and it adds so much value. I mean, just two cases that's for me and for the audience to understand. What do you mean by that when you hire the right people for the right company? I'm talking about the water industry and when something it went wrong and how you learn from that.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a complete lie to say that every hire we make works out, because for whatever reason, sometimes they don't. And it's always about learning why, that particular candidate didn't work out. There have been times where particular candidates haven't worked out. I mean, it could be down to cultural reasons, it could be down to more technical reasons. I suppose there's a whole range of reasons as to why a particular candidate might not have worked out with a particular business. I think the way that we mitigate that is by becoming partners to the clients that we work with. And what I mean by that is that the more that we understand the business, the better we understand their culture. And the better that we or any other recruitment consultant or headhunting organization knows a company culture, the better that you can steer a given search. As soon as you really understand what that company culture is like, you can then start to explain what the company culture is like when speaking with candidates. And naturally, if you can do that earlier on in a particular recruitment process, the chances of that candidate working out are far better. And that, does come down to having relationships with the businesses that you're working with and making it less transactional, whereby you work with a client, you fill a role, and then you never speak to them again. What we want to do is work with clients as and when and become almost their recruitment partner of choice. And with that, we really understand their culture. And like I say, it becomes more of a circular process, and you can then incorporate that feedback loop into future assignments. So I suppose to go back to your question, yes, there have been times where candidates haven't worked out. We've obviously always worked with those clients to make sure that we get somebody back in place that fits the brief a little bit more specifically, incorporating in that feedback loop. But I would definitely say that there have been more times where we've got, good success stories. I can think of one more recently where we helped a business in Italy. They wanted a customer success manager. It was a software platform for water utilities. And that guy is now already heading up that Italian division. There's another company that we've worked with across Europe whereby he's now heading up the entire sales force for Europe. There are far more success stories than there are the negative ones. But like I say, I think fundamentally it comes down to understanding company culture and being able to match candidate and client culture as much as it is matching, CVs and experiences to specific specs and briefs.
So if I understood correctly, for a water company, let's assume that it's a startup company, they get funding, they need a bunch of talent to work together. Not only you hire for them, let's say, water and experts, but you can hire also for them an IT expert that can work with the water team to develop tools for water applications.
So our network is across, technology manufacturers, service providers, contractors, consultancies, anybody that works across that water sphere more generally. And that could be a company that serves a municipal application, and it could be, serving a utility directly. They could be obviously working through a contractor or an engineering company. It could be a company that sells into an industrial water application. And it, let's just say, as an example, there's a zero liquid discharge business that, are working with a food and beverage plant, and they're trying to incorporate a way that that industrial facility can better manage their water processes. It could be obviously a business that then sells into a commercial or a residential application. So that's the focus of influx, is across that water sphere more generally. It's not specific to just water companies and utilities. It's essentially water applications or flow solutions more generally. And then within those businesses, we work cross-functionally. We'll work with a business to find them the people that they need in that particular function. And yeah, you're right that that could be an engineer, it could be a scientist, it could be a new HR manager, as an example. It could be pretty much any function, any seniority within that business, but we will ultimately work with them to find them specific talent for their specific needs.
I have an example. I know that so many people that are working in different industries, they would like to join the water industry, for example, IT people, electronic. So, and to come to the water industry, it's a little bit different than IT or semiconductor, where you have so much money, the portfolio change in every quarter. Well, in water industry, you have membrane or that can be changed in 3 maximum, 5 years. In terms of new Membrane. iPhone every 1 year, but you have membrane from different supplier more than 10 years, they're still being sold there. So my question is, I mean, how do you navigate the talent landscape to find really people who not only have the technical expertise, but really share the passion for the water and also for water conservation and sustainability, because that's the most important also. How you find those people?
So I think that question has two answers, and one is an answer that's steered towards a client and a business that's hiring, and then one answer is obviously a little bit more steered to a particular candidate that maybe wants to transition into the industry. So from the client perspective, it always just comes down to, are they open to exploring candidates that maybe aren't within the industry? And there are obviously a number of functions. A number of positions, you could talk about that till the cows come home, but there are opportunities for businesses that work in the water industry to bring in talent that maybe hasn't been in the industry. But then that comes down to communication with that particular hiring company, that hiring manager, whoever it is, about their, I suppose, their want and desire to bring in that talent. Now, naturally, it will always have benefits. Because if you bring in people from outside the industry, they bring in new ways of thinking, and they maybe think of ways of going about solutions that a particular business might have gone about in a completely different way. But ultimately, it comes down to that person who's making that particular hire and their desire to bring in that. Because, albeit, I mean, if we talk about like the IT space or the technology space more generally, you don't really, or for a lot of those types of positions, you don't necessarily need to understand the nuances of the water industry. You need to understand the tech. But it's like I say, it's does that business have the bandwidth to then potentially train them on the nuances of the water industry and the particular applications that they'd be working on? To flip it to the other side, you have the same conversation with a particular candidate, is do they have the ambition to move into the industry? And let's just say if there is a business that's working with a Google of the world or an Apple of the world, do they want to work with a business that maybe wants to have more of a sustainable initiative, or work towards more sustainable goals or anything like that. But I think it always just comes down to very transparent and clear communication between the two. If the business that you're working with, or that we would be working with, is open to that, then we can steer a particular search for candidates like that. And then, like I say, it's just communication throughout from there.
Yeah, and then there's also the cultural fit, I would say. That's they need to fit in the culture. Is this something that you not warn them but prepare them to be to really explain to them this is how the culture looks like
Conservative
in the water
space.
industry? Exactly, yeah. It's I wouldn't say it's kind of boring, it's slow, not like the digital applications. You have one application, boom, you have million followers, you have so many things, but water, it's really takes time to adopt new technology, to push the market, to shift it. Yeah.
I mean, I think there's only one way to go about it, and it is to be upfront with it. There's no point trying to cover, the wool over someone's eyes and pretend like it's a very fast adopted technology. If obviously we're assuming about technology, in this example, but you've got to be upfront about these types of conversations. If you're bringing somebody in from outside of the market, then you need to have quite upfront and honest conversations with them about how this position might look, or how this position might play out. And that might be right for some people. Some candidates would be interested by it. And like I say, it fundamentally comes down to the goal of that company in particular. If you can quite clearly explain the mission and vision of what they're trying to achieve, some candidates will be open to it. Naturally, on the flip side to that, some candidates will just be like, it's not what I really want to do, but thank you for giving me a call. It's just about managing that communication throughout, but you can't pull the wool over people's eyes. You've got to be open and honest with them.
Right, yeah. And then for the water industry, I think you may have some numbers. I do have some rough numbers for the, let's say, Middle East, Africa, how many projects are, I mean, are starting and continue until 2050. So do you have any numbers how many billions are put in water industry, which means so many people they need to be recruited in the water industry in the future, let's say.
I mean,
I mean,
that
just the
is a very,
need
very
to
good
give us an
question.
idea, needs whether it's growing, if is it fast growing compared to other sector or it's just stable market.
No, it's definitely a growing industry. I mean, I did actually read something the other day, and this is just specific to the need in the smart metering space. And I know that, well, I was reading something on online the other day that the smart metering space in particular, so just the water metering applications, is expected to grow from, I think, what is currently about $8 billion to about a $20 billion industry worldwide in the next 10 years or so. And that is obviously a very small part of the market. I mean, I think this ties back to what we were saying earlier in the conversation, in that water is a very finite resource, and there are water companies around the world, there are industrial users around the world that will always need water for any particular process. Either, like I say, on the municipal side where you need to drink or you need to treat wastewater, or an industrial processor that needs it for their whatever manufacturing process that they're using. And the amount of water that's going to be available is naturally going to shrink. So we need to be able to do more with less. And I think there is an opportunity for a lot of businesses to help these companies better manage, use, reuse, treat, monitor, you know, whatever it is, their water and wastewater streams. So I think it's a growing market. And again, I'm not an economist, or anything like that, but I do think that there is a lot of opportunity moving forward.
Right. And then my last question, if I would, let's say, repeat same question at the beginning, but in different way. If I would give you the time to wrap up the unique value proposition of InfluxSearch for both, for someone who would like to be hired and for someone who is looking for people to be working in their company in water industry. So what is the unique value that you are offering?
So I'll start off from someone that's looking to make a move. And I want to just say, like, a very blank or a blanket statement here, in that if there is a candidate listening to this podcast who gets approached by a recruitment consultant or a headhunter or even a company directly, and they are open to exploring opportunities, because I can appreciate that, you know, some people are very happy in the roles that they've got and they would never need to entertain it. But I would like to say, for anybody that is listening to this, that one phone call might change your life. And I'm not saying that it will, but you never know where one phone conversation might lead you. So always be open to exploring what could potentially be on the other side of the fence. To wrap up what InfluxSearch is, it's a water solution and flow solution recruitment consultancy that can help businesses from startup phase, that SME phase, and even multinationals find the talent that they perhaps might not be able to find themselves. We want to be a relationship-driven recruitment partner to the water industry. And like I say, that isn't specific to just the municipal side, but any business that has a water solution of some kind, then we're very keen to be a partner.
Super awesome. I mean, yeah, my last comment, which is just a additional point. Is it something also that you are considering, or maybe you have also in your service, like if there is a new, I mean, I've been discussing with so many CEO of new startup company in water industry. Not always they knew what they need in terms of talents. They always miss 10% of the people, like you need someone from regulatory to make sure that your product is certified for drinking water in UK. It's different than certification for drinking water in Germany. So you need that person can tackle this regulatory stuff. So do you also provide consultancy for a startup company also what they need or what kind of talent that they don't have in their firms and they should have it, for example?
So we want to work with businesses on more of a talent mapping strategy. You
Okay.
know, naturally, those startup organizations in particular are going to need a whole range of different talent as they grow. And obviously, it's very much dependent on where they see themselves going. If they're seeing themselves as a global business, then, as you've rightly said there,
Yeah.
even certification of product in different regions requires the local knowledge. But yeah, part of the solution more generally, or the service that we can offer, is more of a talent mapping strategy, and something that we will be incorporating later down the line. I mean, granted, we're still in a very early stage ourselves, but we want to incorporate more of a partner network into the influx search offering. So it will be diversifying away from just recruitment and headhunting solutions to incorporate HR solutions and payroll solutions and other solutions that businesses that are growing into new territories or diversifying themselves may require. So that's some sort of like midterm goals of ours, so that we can be a one-stop shop when it comes to businesses that are entering that growth phase.
Super. Thank you very much. Any last word, Layla, you would like to share with the audience?
Well, no, I just really appreciate the opportunity and fact that you invited me on, Hakeem. It's a podcast that I have listened to over the years, so I really do appreciate the opportunity to come on and really appreciate everything. If anybody is listening to this and does work across the water industry, then I would be very keen to get in touch. If you could either send me an email or drop me a message over LinkedIn, always keen to have a chat with anybody that works across that water space.
Super, my pleasure. Thank you very much, Lily.
Perfect. Cheers, Hakeem. Thank you very much.
Thanks.